The marriage and family therapist, and he flew into town Thursday afternoon, picked him up at the airport, and we really just spent the rest of that afternoon and evening talking, and then I took him back to the airport Friday. He's meeting a shuttle and going to do some training. And just talked a lot to him about what he does. And he does individual counseling, but he does something called experiential therapy with addicts in a treatment center, getting a group of 5 or 6 people together. And he said it's like an improv. People come in, and really his job, he doesn't know what's going to happen, he doesn't know where it's going to lead, but his job is just to create a safe place, to build trust so that the individuals can start dealing with the hurt and the destruction that has been wrought in their lives. Really doesn't have anything to do with the sermon that I'm preaching this morning, but it has everything to do with what I just experienced, and I think a lot of us have just experienced. This is a safe place, and our family felt that from the moment we walked in 3 years ago. This is a safe place for us to come and deal with our struggles, and I know it's a combination of all kinds of things for me this morning. Some of it's the candles and the ambiance. A lot of it's the songs that we were led in by Meg. Thank you. That was awesome. And Gary and Josh, Shai and Pris. It's just created a safe place for me to just really dig deep and deal with what's going on inside of me. And hopefully we've all experienced that and continue to experience that. And I'm afraid I might be a wet blanket. I hope I'm not. I don't really feel worthy, but God and Jesus Christ is worthy, and His Word is worthy. And thankfully, our lesson today comes to us from the Spirit. And I want us to think about this passage that was read by Tim and Gretchen. Man, I feel terrible. Tim and Gretchen in 1 Timothy. And it's a passage that comes to us at the end of a letter. Paul's writing to his protege Timothy, and he's helping him work through this situation that he's in, and dealing with a church that has all kinds of problems. Timothy's a young man, and he's trying to tell older people how they should live their lives. And this passage, it struck me as I looked at it. I mean, it's just full of all kinds of advice, and I had the image of, you know, a parent yelling out advice to their child as they drive off to college. Hey, be sure to brush your teeth and study hard and, you know, don't spend too much time going out and, you know, get some rest and be sure to call. He's saying all these things, giving these wisdoms. And, you know, I also thought, going back to my child, the image that hit me was the end of In Empire Strikes Back when Luke is leaving to go rescue his friends, and Yoda and the Obi-Wan are there, and they're just, Yoda and Obi-Wan are just pelting out, hey, do this, remember your training, it'll save you, don't give in to the dark side, all this stuff. And that's what I see that Paul is doing here in this passage. And, you know, I was listening to a podcast about this passage, and someone said, you know, this passage is just full of all kinds of advice, and it's stuff we already know. You know, it's stuff like, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 10, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Verse 11, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love. Verse 12, fight the good fight. Verse 18, be rich in good deeds. Verse 17, and I'm going to say this like Yoda would, hope in wealth do not. Hope in God, you must. All this advice, and it, you know, it's the person who was talking about it said, look, who wants to come to church and hear advice that we already know about? You know, we need to put this into a theological context. And yeah, we do need to put it into a theological context, but I don't know about you. I need to hear these things. I need to be reminded of the basics. I need to have this advice pounded into me day in and day out. And it's been a blessing to me to just think about this passage. And it really hit me. When I read through it and I read through the passages for this week and to think about what to bring in a lesson, You know, I felt, honestly, I felt conflicted when I read this passage. And I felt challenged, almost to the point where I was like, I don't want to talk about this. But then I felt convicted. And it's something that needed to be shared and something that we need to think about. And so, you know, we've got all these sayings, and they might be simple, but they're not easy to live up to, right? And as I look at this passage, I kind of see a ledger of contrasts. We have the contrast of those who want to get rich put up against those who are content. We have those who are eager for money contrast with those who are willing to share. We have a path that leads to human, foolish, and harmful desires, and a path that receives God's provision for our enjoyment. And then we have that contrast there in verse 17. Hope in wealth, hope in God. Yeah, this honestly, this list hit me right between the eyes because my bent is, and really John's sermon last week really spoke to me as well. My bent, my human bent is to put my security, my peace in monetary reserves. If you ask my wife, I am the grumpiest person I can be when our checkbook is out of balance. and not meaning that it doesn't line up with the bank, but meaning that, you know, I don't know where, we don't have enough savings to cover what I think we need to have. We have more than what we can possibly hope to have. We have provision, we have clothing, we have food. But I'm not content with that, honestly. And I know that I'm a rich person. We all are, in the broad spectrum of things. We are so rich. Yet, I'm not always content. And because of that, I might not be eager for more money, but I'm less willing to share, honestly. I sometimes overlook the provision that God has given for me in my life. And we have so many points in our life, in our personal history, where God, even going back to when I was a child in our family, where God has provided for me in our family, just not even physically, but just the things that God provides for our enjoyment. I get in such a grumpy mood that I don't see the sunset, or I don't notice the stars, or I don't see the wonder in my kids' eyes when they see something new. Because I want to have more. I want to have that security. And it scares me because I know that that's the path that leads to not hoping in God, not trusting in Him, putting my hope in something that's not going to last. We came into this world with nothing, and with nothing we're going to leave. And we compare those things, and we see these two sides, these ledgers, and on one side, we're on dangerous ground. It's treacherous. It's treacherous for myself to not have the focus and not have a path, to be on a path of desire that leads to God. But on the other side, when I know, when we are content, when we are willing to share out of the riches, when we enjoy God's provision, when our hope is in Him, we're on a firm foundation, solid ground. Tonight is last episode of the show Breaking Bad. Some of you are laughing because you know that. I mean, some of you might watch it, some of you might not. I've only seen the pilot. This television show really follows, and the creator of the show wanted to show, you know, just your average, you know, humble person and his descent into total evil. And it's a story of a, you know, just a meek, brilliant chemistry teacher, high school chemistry teacher, who finds out he has terminal cancer and decides that he wants to make as much money as he can for his family before he dies. His wife, he has an older son who's got some developmental issues, and then he's got a wife who's pregnant. And so he decides that he's going to cook meth. And he starts doing that with good intentions for his family to build wealth, right? And that show, and by all accounts, it has been brutal for people who have watched it to see him spiral and go down and down into the depths of just no humanity, really. And I don't know how the show's going to end, but I don't think it's going to end well. And that's a good thing. I mean, I think that the show's got a lot of really difficult things, bad things that you don't want to really have in your mind or in your thoughts. But the one redemptive quality is that it really shows the true consequences of evil. The bad guys don't win. But that's the path that we can put ourselves on. We are in seeking money. When we are eager for money, when we are eager for things that aren't focused on God, we fall into temptation, into traps, into ruin and destruction. The path of desire without God is treacherous. And the only constant is sin. Contrast that with a life that is focused on God. A path that is built on desire of God. It's still treacherous. It's still dangerous, right? And things are always changing. There's chaos all around. But what's constant? Constant is God, this creator of the universe, the rock, a firm foundation. And Paul lays it out there in the last verse of this passage, encouraging the rich to be generous, to be full of good works, to share, to use what God's given them for good. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Laying a foundation for the coming age, laying a foundation for the future. That's important. That's lasting. That is forever. And that is something that's going to stand the powers of this world. It's going to stand up against anything that tries to knock us over. But it's not just a firm foundation for the future. It's a firm foundation for today. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is here. It is God within us. It is His Spirit that is within us. It is the process of sanctification that we go through as we walk in Jesus Christ. And it is something that Paul encourages Timothy in here and encourages us to take hold of, to really grasp, to go after. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Take hold of the eternal life that you were called to. We are called to action. Eternal life isn't something that we just sit back and passively receive. But it's something that we reach out and grasp. It's something that we pursue. It is something that we go after. And I think that what's really encouraged me from this passage is that, you know, I experience life and, you know, day in and day out chores. And I've shared this with you before. I mean, you just get up, go to work, do what's asked of you, come home, take care of the kids, do what needs to be done at the house, find a little time for yourself, go back to sleep, do it all over again. And you can easily get into that. I get easily get into that path. And it's like a pot of hot water. It just gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And I'm warm. I'm like the frog. I don't really know that I need to jump out and pay attention to the bigger picture. Beyond that drudgery. Beyond that that chore and that practice. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be diligent in what we're doing, or that there isn't redemptive qualities in every aspect of our lives. But without the perspective of eternal life and taking hold of eternal life, we lose, it begins to boil us. It wears us down. We begin to melt away. And it keeps us from recognizing the urgency and the opportunity of the situation that we're in. The Greek word that's used twice in this passage to take hold of is epilambanomai. I probably butchered that, but that's all right. Koine Greek hasn't been spoken for years. And what that word means, it means to take hold of, but also to grasp, to catch, sometimes with violence. And this is the image that I want us to take home with us when we think about taking hold of eternal life. It's not just picking something up and looking at it, but it's a chasing after. It's a violent collision. It's a holding on with all your might and wrestling it down. That's what taking hold of eternal life should look like. Now, too often I carry eternal life around with me because I have it. I carry it around like my cell phone. You know, it's in my back pocket. It's here if I need it. You know, if it rings, I'll answer it. If I need to make a call, I'll use it. A lot of times I'll sit it down. I'll forget where it is, right? Yeah. I forget where it is or I'll drop it. That's not how God wants us to treat eternal life. This is something that's, Jesus used the parable of the kingdom of God is like a treasure that you find in a field and you just take everything that you have, you sell it and you go buy that field because you want it so badly. You know that it's worth everything. Eternal life, we need to pursue it like that linebacker after the running back who's about to score the winning goal, the touchdown. Chase it down, wrestle it to the ground, and hold on for dear life. So if we go back to our ledger, go back this way. Sorry about that. We have our dangerous ground and our firm foundation. There's one contrast that I didn't pull up there, and it's not going to pop up on the screen. But we have this image at the end of verse 10, where he says, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. People who have wandered from the faith. And to contrast with that, we have verse 12, that admonition. Fight the good fight of faith. Should we wander aimlessly, or should we be lulled to sleep to where we forget where our true focus is? No, by no means no. Let us fight the good fight. Let us tackle our eternal life. Wrestle it to a ground and allow it to challenge us and focus ourselves. So as we embark on our journey, as we depart, I'd like for us to allow our Jedi Master, the Apostle Paul, to give us an admonition. But you, child of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Jesus Christ, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you, keep this commandment without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be the glory and honor and might forever. Amen.